Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to our next session. I am very excited to introduce our panel. We have our moderator today, Todd Hedden. I think everyone knows Todd, but he's a partner in the Austin office of Hayward PLLC. He represents creditors, Chapter 7 trustees, and even individuals, as well as prosecuting and defending 523 and 727 actions. He has also recently been appointed to serve as a Subchapter 5 trustee. We also have Andrew Bates. Andrew is a restructuring associate at the New York office of Wilkie, Farr, and Gallagher. He also is a former participant in the Duberstein bankruptcy moot court competition. We also have Emily Chang. Emily Chang is a law clerk for the Honorable Chief Judge Jernigan of the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Northern District of Texas. Upon her completion of her clerkship with Judge Jernigan, she'll be joining Reed Smith in Dallas. She is also the winner of the 2024 Duberstein Moot Court Competition. With that, I'll let our panelists begin.
Well, thank you and good morning. And thank you, Christy. I'm going to add a little bit more color to the panel, my panelists, and why we're here and talking about this subject. So as it was announced yesterday, the UT Duberstein Moot Court team did very well this past year, won both the Elliott Cup regional competition. Andrew was part of that team with his partner, Grace Darrow, who is clerking for Judge Lee Morris this year. And then Emily followed up on that and with her partner, Abby Rogers, who is sitting over there on the right-hand side, our stage left, I guess, for y'all. They won the national competition. And this problem, are one of the two issues that they debated is very much the topic that we're talking about here today. And so it's a privilege for me to be here and moderate this panel because I helped coach them for the last 2 years. And then if any of you were there for the announcement yesterday and you were wondering what in the world was happening on that very last part of the slide, that was my head being shaved. I was conscious. Some people were wondering if that was me passed out, but no, I was conscious because when they won the regional competition, I had told them beforehand that if they won, they could shave my head. So I'm not one to squelch on a bet, and that is actually what was shown. So moving on to the presentation. Let's see, how is it going to be the best way to do that? Perfect. We're here to talk about what happens when a case is filed under Chapter 13, but for one reason or another, it subsequently converts to Chapter 7 after plan confirmation. And so there's a couple of different issues that are at play there. And, you know, this typically is going to come up in the hypothetical, and the Duberstein problem was in a jurisdiction with a very low homestead exemption amount. Texas, as we know, typically has a very high homestead exemption amount, but there are the exceptions to that if the home was purchased in the last 1,215 days or a recent relocation to Texas. Also can come up in the situation of a second home or other special assets, or as Mr. Sather was talking about, a debtor who decided to take federal exemptions, possibly out of spite. But that's kind of the overall setup and how we're here and why we're here. But before we move on, I do have one particular question for Emily. Emily, preview for us all. If in the future there is a book that comes out from Judge Jernigan and there's a particular quirk that she might write in for one particular law clerk that we could think of for you, what would that quirk be?
I would say black hair and bangs would be my identifying feature.
So duly noted, if we do have any bit of reading that we can look forward to out of Judge Jernigan like that, we can look for a clerk with black hair and bangs. But, and Andrew, I'll figure out a cute question to ask you later. But moving on, so that's just kind of the overall lay of the land. But Emily, if you could, please kind of go ahead and give us the code provisions that we care about.
Yeah, so the first one that is important is Section 348 F1A, which governs what becomes property of the estate when the debtor converts from a Chapter 13 to a Chapter 7.